Welcome to From the Median, a daily report from the front line of the pro-life movement, discussing two worldviews that are driving our culture in opposite directions. From the Median asks, which side of the road are you on? What direction do you want our culture to go? Tune in as we plan the route that takes us back to the culture of life. And now your host, Molly Smith.
Welcome back. I am Molly Smith, your host. I want to remind you all that our program is available for download. You can do so by going to our website, fromthemedian.org.
Hi, everybody. This is Jerry Serino, Molly Smith's co-host of From the Median podcast. Thank you all so much for being here today. I really appreciate you. As always, please like and share the podcast with friends and family, whether you listen on a podcast app or you listen through the radio. Please suggest us, please hit the like button on the podcast app and share it with your friends and family. Also, I'd ask you to go to fromthemedian.org and you could see all our episodes there as well and see a little bit about the program. And if you're inclined to donate to Cleveland Right to Life, you can do that there. It is greatly appreciated and certainly greatly needed as we continue to fight for life. My guest today is Dr. Nathan Jones. Giving you a little background, he is the Director of Internet Outreach and Internet Evangelist at Lion and Lamb Ministries. And he's here to share with us about his great organization and, you know, who knows, talk about some other things that are going on in this country right now. Dr. Jones, thank you for being here.
Well, thank you, Jerry. I appreciate it. From all of us at Lamb and Lion Ministries, we greet you in the name of Jesus, our blessed hope.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that. And so let's get into it. Let's start about, you know, your organization, your ministry, and what you do.
Okay. Well, back in 1980, our founder, Dr. David Reagan, who was a Harvard educated, he was a professor of international politics. And since the Six-Day War in 1967, when the Jewish people were able to finally get Jerusalem back under control of Israel, really affected him because it was a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. So he says he kind of ran from the Lord for a few years, but by 1980, he gave up his professorship and he went into full-time ministry. He founded Lamb and Lion Ministries, were named because Jesus came first as a lamb to suffer and die for our sins, but he's returning as a conquering lion to defeat evil and set up his kingdom. And so for the last 45 years, we here at Lamb and Lion Ministries have a passion for the soon return of Jesus Christ, and that's our mission, to proclaim it. We believe the signs of the end times point to the Lord's soon return, and so we're getting people excited, because when people are excited about Jesus coming back, it transforms them. They dedicate their lives to holy living, to evangelism in the time that's short, and to have hope for the future.
Absolutely. You know, fantastic, and that's so needed in this time. Of course, and we need to lead with Jesus, right? And that's what's most important. And so thank you for all the work that all of you do. And so there's actually your website is if you let me have you share the website. We'll put it on the podcast apps. You'll see it there, and you also see it on the web, our website. So fromthemedian.org if you want more. But share it with everybody how they can connect with you guys.
Oh, absolutely. You can go to our website at christinprophecy.org. It's named after our television show. Since 2002, we've had a television program called Christ in Prophecy. It's on all the major networks. We also have a radio program by the same name. We actually started that back up. Dr. Reagan did that for 20 years, but he retired. Our new director, Tim Moore, and I now host that. And so both the television and radio is part of our media outreach. And I tend to focus not just on television and radio, but speaking at conferences and writing books like my latest book, The Coming Millennial Kingdom. But reaching the 6 billion plus people that are now accessible over the internet with the gospel and the great hopeful message that Jesus Christ is coming back. Jerry, we live in a time unlike any other, where we can reach people all over the world for Jesus Christ. We don't have to be missionaries, say that go to a country. The countries come to us over the media. You understand that, being on radio and podcasting. And I think that that's another sign that our time is short, that Jesus is coming soon, because he's given us that incredible tool to reach as many people as he can, as quickly as we can, with the message of Christ's soon return.
Yeah. And so you had mentioned a radio show. Is it on the radio programs, or is it a podcast that you're doing?
It's a weekly radio program called Christ and Prophecy Radio. You can find it on the Bible Broadcasting Network and three other different networks. I do have a podcast. Pastor Vic Batista and I, since 2010, have a podcast called The Truth Will Set You Free. And what we do is we go for the books or subjects that are heavy in the one-third of the Bible, one-third of the Bible, that is prophecy. And so Pastor Vic and I, we go verse by verse. And right now we're going through the book of Isaiah. We assume it's probably going to take a year and a half with 66 chapters.
Yeah.
It's going to take a while. But again, we just love to educate people and get people excited about Jesus Christ and our future ahead of us with him. So yeah, radio, television, and podcasting is just a few of the ways that we reach people for Jesus Christ.
Yeah, great. And you're so right about the what the internet has done with, you know, whether it's, when I say internet, I mean, you know, websites, podcasts, excuse me, just the ability to reach people far and wide. And people also with podcasting and the internet, they don't need to be available at a certain time of the day on a certain station, right? Everything is, it's just so out there, and people, the accessibility is fantastic. So today is, that we're recording this is September 12th. We're coming off of the anniversary of 9/11, obviously, and just a couple of days ago, also the murder of Charlie Kirk. Mm. You know, horrible things that people saw, and we think about those two events, and certainly many others. It's not to diminish any other horrible tragedies that have occurred, but these are just ones that just happened. What do events like this say to you in the line of work that you're in, say to you about the state of our country? Let's stick with our country.
Well, we know that the signs of the times that Jesus gave us, Luke 21, Matthew 24, Mark 13, point to the fact that we are living in what we believe is the end of the church age. Of course, the whole 2,000 years of Bible prophecy is about the end of the church age, the end of the time of the Gentiles that's leading up to Christ's return, his glorious return with the saints at the end of what we call a tribulation time period. And Jesus compared these signs of the times. And what you were mentioned was a category of what we would call spiritual signs, or also social and world political signs. And what they are is pointing to the fact that Jesus said that they, like birth pains, would increase in frequency and intensity the closer we got to his soon return. So my wife had three children, and I can't say that I personally went through labor pains, but I watched her. In the beginning, the contractions were far apart and the pain was less and less. But as we got closer and closer to the baby coming, of course, the pain increased, the contractions were closer and closer until boom, the baby came. And so that's what Jesus compares to. He says the signs of the end times, spiritual signs such as false prophets and false teachers, wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, plagues, signs in the sky, social unrest, the return of Israel as a nation, and many other signs that, even though we've had them for as long as human history has been, but they would increase in frequency and intensity. And Jerry, we believe that these signs are becoming just like those birth pains. They're increasing more and more in frequency and intensity, just as Jesus said they'd happen, to point to the fact that he's coming soon.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think that right now is the greatest impediment to people coming to Jesus?
Well, it's interesting that in Luke 21, the very first sign that Jesus gave us, it was a spiritual sign. He said, false teachers and false prophets. Watchman.org, it's a cult watching website, reported there are 1,000 false religions in the United States. 1,000 false religions. And so what we've got here is we've got the truth of the Bible, but it's being drowned out. It's being buried in so many different other messages. So much of our time period is postmodern, and in that we believe that all truth is relative, and therefore one way to God is the same as another way to God, even if those ways conflict. And so Jesus pointed out, number one is the fact that we have a lot of false teachings out there, and it's burying the gospel. But the Lord also prophesied that in the last days, that we, as we got closer to his return, that the end time society would become more loveless. And because they lacked love, it would become more violent. He compared it to the days of Noah and the days of Lot, where the people thought about violence all the time and wickedness all the time. And so Jesus said, like that, it's going to also increase in frequency intensity. And when bad things happen to good people, people begin to question why there's a God. And so that's another reason I believe that people are having trouble coming to Jesus. But overall, the message of the gospel, since the Lord gave the Great Commission in Acts 1:8, continues to go all around the world. I mean, even though it's cooling in the West, we're seeing a fantastic increase in people coming to know Jesus in Africa and China. Matter of fact, I think it was a Barna poll, maybe you saw it just this week, that said Gen Zers are now the number one largest group going to church in America. The youth, our children's age, are hungering for the gospel, hungering for truth, and they're going to churches looking for it. Christianity has become countercultural. So the gospel is never wavering. The Lord is going to bring everyone back. As he says in 2 Peter, he doesn't want any to perish. He's slow. He's patient. He's waiting until every person who's meant to be saved is saved in this era.
Yeah. And it's so if we think about the opposite, right? People, obviously, we want to bring everyone to Jesus and follow him and so on. We know that Satan has been around forever, right, as well, and tempting and pulling people in his direction. Whether we look at what's going on now with certainly our prominent issue here, at least on this show, is abortion, the slaughter of babies. Mm-hmm. We you know, what's going on now with the transgender, everything that's going on, all sorts of, you know, behavior. We know that, you know, even going back to the Bible, there was plenty of horrible things, Sodom and Gomorrah for one, right? And lots of horrible behaviors going on. How strong is Satan right now fighting us?
Well, we got to remember that Jesus defeated Satan at the cross. Satan thought he had killed the Son of God, and 3 days later, mm-hmm. he resurrected from the dead and he beat death. So when we read the book of Revelation, chapters 4 and 5, it points to where Jesus, the worthy Lamb, is the only one worthy to take the seal, the title deed of the earth. So for the last 2,000 years, Satan is a defeated being, but we are waiting for the return of Jesus to defeat Satan. He's going to send him in a pit, Revelation tells us. When he gets here, his one world ruler, who's called the Antichrist and his false prophet, will be sent to the lake of fire, and Jesus will establish his kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years. Now, it's interesting what you said, Jerry, and I wrote about this in my latest book, The Coming Millennial Kingdom, is that after the 1,000 years of Jesus' kingdom, he releases Satan for a little while. And then Satan goes back out and does the same thing he's always doing, deceiving people, trying to get people to worship him rather than God. And he leads a revolt against Christ's kingdom, which is based in Jerusalem. And God just sends down fire, defeats him, and Satan's immediately cast in the lake of fire. So one, we know that Satan is already a defeated being. So we shouldn't look at him as a great power, something to be feared. Certainly he's the most powerful of the created beings that God ever made, but he's also a defeated creature. His defeat has been prophesied in the Bible by none other than Jesus Christ himself. So we know he will be beat. And since Satan knows his time is short because of the sign of the times, the Bible says he's raging on this earth. He's like a lion seeking whom he may devour. And so we're going to continue to see these spiritual attacks against people who stand up for the truth, like Charlie Kirk, grow in frequency and intensity leading up to the rapture of the church. But after that, into that tribulation time period, to even be a Christian will mean to be martyred during that time period. And many, many people who come to faith in Christ during that tribulation time period will be martyred for their faith. So, Jerry, it's going to get worse and worse and worse leading up to the return of Jesus Christ. But Christians, don't fear. Satan is defeated and his sentence to hell has already been proclaimed.
Yeah, very well said. Really, really well said. So let's you had mentioned your book, and I'm glad that wasn't an intentional segue, by the way, on my part. It just happened to be that way. So that takes us into your book. Tell us a little bit. You gave us certainly a little sliver of it based upon my question, but remind us of the title of your book, where people can get it, and then the overall premise of it.
Okay. Well, my latest book is called The Coming Millennial Kingdom. It's published by Harvest House. And Jerry, originally when I wrote it, I wanted to call it the Forgotten Kingdom, because it's amazing how few Christians know that Jesus Christ is coming to this earth and going to set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. Most believe, well, yeah, someday Jesus is going to come back and we'll all go to heaven and that's the end of history. But the Bible gives so much more information. And so I wanted to get people excited by the fact that those who are what Revelation calls overcomers. In other words, if you are saved, then you have citizenship in this coming kingdom. And for those of us in this church age, we will be resurrected into our glorified eternal bodies. And we are promised to serve and rule and reign with Jesus Christ from his kingdom. So I went into this book with the looking at the fact that we live in a society that's failed us. Our governments have failed us. They give security instead of enslavement. That's what we want. Instead, we get the enslavement. Instead of justice, we get corruption. Instead of virtue, we get vice. And we get suffering instead of the preservation of our happiness. Again and again, our governments have failed us. And so I wanted to tackle the question, what happens to people who put their faith in government? And we see that so much today, not just the unbelievers, but Christians as well are always looking for a political Messiah instead of looking for the King of Kings to come. And so I dealt with the question. It's called the problem of evil as it relates to failed human government. And God's solution to mankind's evil as it relates to failed human government in the Bible, it says it's found in the Messiah. And it's based all on a prophecy from Daniel 2 about the end of failed, flawed human government. It's when Jesus Christ sets up his kingdom on this earth. And brother, I was so excited about it. I wrote about it as my doctoral dissertation and then wrote another book on it just for the general people to get to know what Christ's kingdom is going to be like and what our part is in it.
Yeah, very interesting. It got me thinking when you brought up, you know, government and the like, and I think about our political divide today. And, you know, if we talk about the left versus the right, right, let's just take those two. Obviously, there's people maybe somewhere in between. The people on the right who are predominantly at least religious or religious minded are for small government, less powerful government. The people on the left, who are typically the ones who reject religion, they're most likely to be, any atheist is likely to be on the political left and so on. They're the people who love big government. Is that a mistake on my end to look at it that way?
No, you're absolutely right, because they have replaced the God of the universe as their God. See, humans always worship some kind of God. Even an atheist will worship a God, and it's usually self. But like you said, that's why you almost always find atheists in the left, because the left really worships human government. Now, the problem is that human government can never live up to fixing all the problems in the world. Natural disasters, hunger, famine, economic collapse. I mean, we just saw Nepal overthrow their government. We're seeing wars constantly that no government can ever end. Matter of fact, Jerry, there are 37 countries at war, just this, that's 92% of human history has been in where we have war all the time, and mankind can't fix that. And so when governments can't fix human problems, when people put government up as God, they lose faith in even the God of the universe who they don't know, because everything has failed them. Likewise, Christians who are always looking for a political answer to today's problems will always be disappointed by our governments, even the best of them. And I think, you know, we're living in one of the best countries ever made, or we're under one of the best administrations that have been in American history. And yet they're always going to fail us because humans are flawed and failed. And that's what the millennial kingdom is about. We're going to get a perfect King of Kings. The government be ruled by purified believers. That's us. But the citizens going into it in their earthly bodies, they repopulate the planet. There'll be new countries. America won't be here in the end times. The Bible prophesies whole new nations during this millennial kingdom. As long as there's still sin, you can't get a perfect society. And that's what the millennial kingdom proves. So we look to the eternal state after that 1,000-year kingdom for when everybody in it, sin is gone and vanquished. Death and Hades have been thrown into the lake of fire. The Lord is king over all. And so that's the government we look for. And that's, as Christians, we need to focus our eyes on for our true deliverance.
Yeah, well said. Excellent. I'm looking at your website, and it gives the, and I'd encourage everyone to go there, ChristInProphecy.org. Go and you could check it out, and you could, you have lots of writings and lots of information here. Some of them are very, the titles are very intriguing and I want to dig into, but I know we don't have time. So if you're listening, you know, go to the website and you could check out some of these articles that are very intriguing. But I want to, I always like to get personal with people a little bit and just know a little bit about your background, because on the website, you have a little testimony about sort of your background and what got you to this point. So, you know, share with us, if you could, a little bit about that. You mentioned your mom started things off, I guess.
Yeah, fortunately, praise the Lord, I was raised in a Christian family. My father sold books and Bibles for various publishing houses. And when I was young, my mother led my sister and I to the Lord. I wanted to be an astronaut, actually. When I went to college, found I wasn't too good in the advanced math. So I went to Alaska for one summer to work at a Christian camp. And I realized that's what I'm meant to do. I'm meant to serve the Lord full time. I came back, went to Bible college, Cairn University in Pennsylvania, met my wife there, Heather. We have three kids, and I've eventually turned my web development and design background. I had to go back to school, went to seminary, and eventually got my doctorate, and now serve at Lamb and Lion Ministries for the last 18 years, proclaiming the message of the gospel and the soon return of Jesus Christ. And that's where my passion lays. Folks, we live in exciting times, and we're meant to understand the third of the Bible, that God wants us to know that in him we have victory because Jesus has defeated all evil, and we're just waiting for that time for him to claim that throne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, again, off the cuffs or on the cuffs of the whole Charlie Kirk situation, one of the things that people are posting all sorts of quotes from him and replaying things. And one of his, I think, most powerful is, and I may be phrasing this wrong, but he said something along the lines of seek Jesus. Like that was it. That was his quote or his saying, you know, that's what our goal should be. And if you do that, if you're at least seeking and hopefully you find him, you're never going to commit the type of evil that we saw just a couple days ago or the anniversary of 9/11, right? No one ever would, if you were truly with Jesus. So really great stuff. Dr. Nathan Jones from Lamb and Lion Ministries, really great stuff. Again, ChristInProphecy.org is where you go. Dr. Jones, any other way people can connect with you? As you said, you know, you do talks, you do all sorts of things. You know, what would be the best way for people to reach out to you?
Yeah, our main website is ChristInProphecy.org. We also have an app, the Lamb Lion app you can download. And if you'd like to know more about the Coming Millennial Kingdom book, there's a website for that called ComingKingdomBook.com, or just check it out on Amazon. And you can reach me through all of those platforms.
Excellent. Please do. Everyone, please do connect if you're so inclined. Again, definitely going to the website, ChristInProphecy.org, and you can see the many fantastic articles that I would highly suggest taking a look at. Again, the titles are quite intriguing and you'll want to dig into them since we can't hear on the show today. So Dr. Nathan Jones, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate all the great work you all do. Keep proclaiming God's name.
Absolutely. And yes, thank you so much for what you do also. And thank all of you who are listening for listening today. And as always, so thank you so much, and we will see you all soon.
Thank you all for joining me this evening. As I say goodnight and God bless each and every one of you, I'd like to close with the words of the Holocaust survivor Elie Wiesel. There may be times when we are powerless to prevent injustice, but there must never be a time when we fail to protest.
From the Median is listener supported. Visit our website, fromthemedian.org, for further information or to make a donation to continue to make this radio program possible. Email us, radionews@fromthemedian.org, or call 440-668-4049. Through our FromTheMedian.org website, you can download this or previous programs for your listening pleasure, or sign up to receive our weekly preview of upcoming guest interviews. Tune in every weeknight at the same time to listen to another great interview on From the Median as we plan the route that takes us back to the culture of life.
This program has been sponsored by Cleveland Right to Life and is responsible for its content.